Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are talking about Cloak and Dagger, Season 1, Episode 4, Call/Response.
All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff. So we watched Cloak and Dagger this week.
Somehow, in the middle of all of that Luke Cage, we were able to catch a Cloak and Dagger episode.
That we were. So, what did you think?
I really liked the series. It felt like this one was a whole bunch of character setup. Like, we don't have the Cloak and Dagger that we know from the comics just yet.
Right.
They're still trying to get to know each other.
Well, sure.
They're still trying to get to know their powers.
They barely even know what their powers do at this point.
Yeah,
I still don't think Cloak knows how to, like, teleport anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know what he's doing.
I still don't think he knows how to teleport to where he wants to go.
She is learning how to use her knives, though, apparently.
Yeah, she used her dagger in this one. Should we? Spoiler alert.
Well, yes, of course.
Of course we should.
Spoiler alert, everybody.
Spoiler alert, the lawyer gets assassinated. Right in front of Tandy.
That was rough.
That was so rough. Especially after all of that. Like you said, when they build up a character, it's like, you gotta watch out for that one.
Yeah. Man. That sucks. It sucks. It sucks that her mom broke up with him, then wanted him back. It's just kind of a tragic end. We didn't really get to know him that well, so I don't think it's like...
It's not that big a deal, but like, you know, we got to know that he was at least, you know, genuinely caring.
Yeah.
You know, we saw the light in his heart or whatever.
He at least genuinely wanted to be with her. Like, he wasn't just using her.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he's still kind of he's still cheating on his wife. So still got moral failing there. Maybe not the best partner, but he did have the desire to be with her, at least.
Yeah. It was at least... Just, a good foundation of genuine care rather than like, yeah, this is a good one. I'll keep this one around.
I'll keep this one in my back pocket while I'm still with my wife or whatever. Sounds like he was being honest with her. It's a bummer.
That's the word.
Yeah. For the most part, this episode was basically just them getting a chance to talk. I actually thought it was really interesting. I wasn't sure if I thought that Tandy would have that conversation or not.
Like she might just run from it?
Yeah. Like it seemed a little almost too communicative for Tandy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it seemed like she finally understood that like this guy's just going to keep showing up and he's going to keep showing up in front of her regardless of whether or not he actually wants to.
Yeah.
But... You know, he's going to keep showing up and she's going to have to face it, to, you know, address this.
Yeah.
And I think it was great that she recognized that, like, his power would take him wherever he wanted to go. And her power would let her, like, you know, deal with any physical threat, like, you know, an attacking style power, but like that's all he wanted to do was attack this detective guy, and all she wanted to do was run. She's like, oh, of course it's like that. We don't get the one that we want. Like, I wanted your power.
Yeah, it seems like they definitely have complementary powers, and obviously it's going to drive them towards one another.
But then when they touch, they get thrown apart.
Yeah, but they also said it was nice at first. So that was weird.
Like it was a bunch of release.
Yeah, like sex, and then he's obviously a virgin.
Yeah, yep. He does that like, awkward turn away. He's like,
yeah, sex,
totally, yeah,
absolutely.
I know about that.
I know about that. but he does not. He's a virgin young man. Good for you.
He's so innocent.
He's a good boy.
He's a good choir boy.
He is a good choir boy.
Not an altar boy.
She's like, an altar boy. He's like, no, I'm in the choir.
She's like, of course you are.
That's the same. So,
you're right.
Where are we going? Where do we go from here, my friend? Where do we go? Where does Cloak and Dagger go?
Well, let's see. Tandy ended up cutting the files out of a hidden section after trying to commit suicide by drowning.
Oh, yeah. And that was crazy. How have we not spoken about that yet?
Yeah.
She tries to commit suicide, and then her power saves her, I guess?
Her power activates, and she... I don't know. Maybe it's like she saw it happen, was like, you know what? No, I don't actually want this to happen, so I'm going to use this to cut myself out. And I really want to say that the way that he handled it was not the way to handle that. You don't tell somebody who's been talking about committing suicide, just fucking do it.
Yeah.
You get them help.
Didn't treat that well. It's tough, man. You got somebody who's talking or joking or whatever about suicide. It's a tough thing. And he doesn't even know her, so he didn't do a good job. Didn't do a good job of handling that. But even when you used to know someone, it's sometimes tough. It's really tough to know what to say and do, and like what's going to drive them like just away from you, and what's going to, like, you need to get them help. Yes, absolutely. But when they won't want help, it's just tough.
Yeah. It's true.
It's hard. But
let's stop being so downer.
Yeah. Well, this episode was pretty downer. It looked to me like the dagger was carrying her up like a balloon. That's what it looked like. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know, man. Maybe it just created an air bubble that...
Well, doesn't...
Through her...
I don't know her powers. She just makes knives and... Makes knives? Is that it?
She makes light daggers.
Okay.
That she can throw.
Like, it just looked like... I guess maybe she was just swimming with... The way she came out of the water, it looked like it was carrying her out. like it wasn't her decision. It looked like the power was saving her. But I might be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what her powers are going to be exactly. Like, I could see if maybe the light daggers also can kind of propel her or something.
She just, like, flies forward and stabs somebody. Like, oh, God, I didn't mean to lunge 20 feet.
Yeah.
Whoops.
or it just, you know, like, she could just kind of have a form of flight. Carried by light daggers.
Maybe. Maybe. I doubt it, though. I like that she seems to finally have at least a little bit of control. Like, she was able to summon one, you know, when she wanted to be able to get those files out. Like, maybe with, you know, making this cloak that looks exactly like the cloak from the comics,
yeah,
Tyrone can finally start to control his power.
Yeah. Yeah, the cloak thing was cool. The beadwork.
Yeah.
Was neat.
And it was, God, it was so touching when you find out that it was his older brother's cloak.
Yeah. He and his father's all mad.
Yep.
Why this one? Because it's your brother's. Yeah, man. It's good episode. Good episode. But mostly I feel like just setting things up. Yeah. But I guess we'll go from here. I did like, I guess I expected her to run from the conversation. And so I kind of liked they subverted that expectation and they just had the conversation. So often in these kind of shows, I don't know, they just wait forever to communicate about things. And that's like where a lot of the drama comes from, which always just feels like false drama. And so I like that the impulse of the writers to just be like, you know what, just have a conversation. You're both having weird, crazy stuff happen. Just have a conversation about it.
Yeah. How about you just connect over it?
Yeah. And they definitely seem to connect.
Yeah. And then they do. And then they connected with the walls.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what their powers really do. Like, once they get them up and running. Well, Jeff, anything else you want to say about this episode?
Not really. I like that they're going after Roxxon, you know, tying into the bigger MCU.
Yeah, it's definitely cool that's the big bad of this season.
Yeah, yeah. And It's really sad to see Tyrone having to deal with the weight of the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, you know, with him saying, like, let me just check your privilege there. Because she's like, I have to steal everything. He's like, you can get anywhere you want to and steal anything you want to because nobody gives a shit about you. He's like, if I'm going into a store to legitimately buy clothing, I get followed around the store. And I'm like, damn, I really hate that the world has gotten to that point, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like, what can we do to fix it other than, you know, tell people don't be racist? And I can only tell my Aunt Sandra not to be racist so many times before I stop going to Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Is that true life?
Oh, yeah. God, that is so awful.
Yeah, I don't have any relatives that are openly racist, which I'm glad. Every once in a while, they'll say something slightly uncomfortable.
Well, with mine, it's like there's under the rug kind of feelings with most of my family. And then whenever she comes around, she's just like outright openly racist, and that just pulls off the rug for the rest of them. They're like, oh, it's okay to talk about it. I'm like, no, it's not okay to talk about it.
Yeah, that sucks. I think our family's always been, if there's racism, I'm sure there's some somewhere. We live in Alabama, it's pretty likely. But for the most part, they haven't really ever spoken openly about it. And so I didn't grow up with much of that around.
Good.
I just grew up with the love everybody.
Good.
Everybody's the same. My mom's best friend is black, and so we grew up with... I know it sounds like she has... I have friends that are black, but she really
is. Yeah, my best friends are black.
Her best friend and, like, prayer partner. So, like, I grew up just, like, with, you know, my mom and her best friend, like, on their knees praying together in the back room. And I was like, yeah, it's just, you know, my mom's best friend. So, I didn't really have that. My parents aren't racist. And at least, you know, maybe there's some subconscious whatever stereotyping or whatever going on, but for the most part they're pretty loving people, so that I just had to deal with that. And I'm glad, because coming from Alabama, it definitely is an issue here. It's
really, really difficult to not be raised in that.
Yeah, you know? for sure. Cool. Well, now that we've talked about other things completely, we are the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or 573-CAST-MCU if you'd like to participate in the cast and send us some feedback. We'll definitely be doing some feedback in the coming weeks. We haven't been doing much feedback lately because there hasn't been much to do feedback on, but now we're getting to lots of good stuff with Luke Cage and Ant-Man and the Wasp. We'll have some cool feedback episodes coming very soon. Anyway, we'll talk to you soon. If you want to support the show, we have a Patreon. You can give us money if you just like the content we're creating. If it's valuable to you, throw us a couple bucks. Patreon.com/MCUcast. There you go. All right, guys. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.